A reading from the Gospel of John. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If my kingdom belonged to this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
The heavens are not too high, his praise may thither fly. The earth is not too low, his praises there may grow. It's a pretty good word to begin my sermon this morning. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock, our Redeemer, our trustworthy friend. Amen. Well, we've come down to the end of the liturgical year, and we're reading all of those annual year-end apocalyptic texts. Last week, Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple, just as we were trying to raise the budget for this building. Next week, we'll read of signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth, distress among the nations concerned by the roaring of the seas and the rising of the waves. That's a text for our time. And this week we have Reign of Christ Sunday, on which we read from John's revelation of Jesus' great coronation. At the end of the time that is to come, the scripture says, "Behold, he is coming on the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all of the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. So it is to be. Amen. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, the one who is and was and is to come." I confess to you this morning, when I hear words like "the Almighty" in the context of all of the tribes of the earth weeping and wailing, something inside of me gets a little bit anxious. I know it is because I'm aware of how these kinds of texts can be misused and abused. People of great power can take a book like the Bible's Revelation and use its apocalyptic text for all kinds of base purposes of subjection and oppression. Or, on the other hand, as my theologian friend and former Broadway member Cody Sanders says, people of great privilege can take these texts and use them to push all ethics of accountability for this earth off into some escapist future. In other words, apocalypticism can be used for the purposes of coercion and the purposes of phantasm, for the justification of satisfaction and retribution or abdication and illusion. It can be an opiate of the masses, or it can be a permit for their harassment. Apocalyptic language can be misused, therefore, to justify the destruction of the world or its simple abandonment. So then we need to be very, very careful, beloved. We need to be very careful when we read these texts. And we as Christians should interpret them as we should all of the other books of the Bible, first and foremost and only through the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate in today's gospel lesson. He's on trial, and the charge is sedition. Jesus is accused of preaching the coming of another kingdom. Jesus does not deny the charge. He does not dispute the fact that he has called for the coming of a kingdom which is quite other than the kingdom of Caesar's. But Jesus tells Pilate is quite mistaken about what kind of kingdom it is that Jesus is all about. He is not calling for a reign of the same substance and character as that of the other reigns of this earth. It is not a reign like the reigns of the emperors Augustus or Tiberius or any of the other rulers of the world. It is not a reign of the world. If it were, Jesus said, then he would have his followers to fight for him. But the reign Jesus is talking about is not of the earth. It is from heaven, and it is from God. Therefore, in this crucible moment, Jesus is going to hold fast to the things of God. And he's going to hold fast to the power of the love of God in heaven, even though he knows it means he's going to be crucified by the power of hatred here on earth. Jesus did not preach escapism. He confronted the powers of this world. But he did not confront them with hatred or violence or vengeance. But he confronted them with the power of love. And so then the lion became a lamb. And though the lamb was slaughtered, yet he survived. And though they crucified the author of life and of love, the apocalyptic vision and text tell us that love won. Life overcame death, and the Lamb will come again to judge all of the lions of all of the nations and redeem their victims and set up a right rule of love and of justice in this world and in the next. On earth as it is in heaven, in the here and now, as it was in the beginning and will be in the end. That is essentially the meaning and the message of Reign of Christ Sunday. It's a relatively new Christian holiday in the liturgical calendar. Only next year commemorating its 100th anniversary. New things in the Christian church are old too. But it was conceived. It was conceived by the church amid and in direct objection to the rise of fascism in the world in the early part of the last century. In Italy, Mussolini's regime had taken hold of the nation, and the slogan, credere, obbedire, combattere, believe, obey, fight, was on the tongues of the tyrant and all of his henchmen. It inspired Hitler and struck fear in the heart of all of Europe. And it was into that context, that 3 years later, to the very day of Mussolini's day of accession as Prime Minister in Italy in 1922, the church observed its first Christ the King Sunday in Rome in 1925. the point Pope Pius XI was making with Christ the King Sunday was crystal clear. And as old as the admonition of the first pope, Saint Peter himself, the church will respect the king. It will honor the king. But the church reserves its obedience to God and the things of God alone. The church will honor the powers of this earth, but it will fear God and God alone. For God is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and was and is to come. God, the Almighty, alone. And this is the meaning of all those apocalyptic texts we read, and the reign of Christ which we proclaim. That there are rulers in this world, some good, some bad, some ugly, some uglier. And then in the world to come, there is God. And there is also Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God Almighty. And so then, to hold on to the vision of the reign of Christ is neither escapism nor is it requital, but it is a firm proclamation of our faith in the justice of Jesus and the ultimate and right rule of God, who so loved the world that he gave his Son to redeem it. Even those who pierced him. We do not have to be afraid then, beloved. No matter what kinds of kings and kingdoms come upon this earth, and neither should we be dismayed when the powers of hate take hold and crucify the power of love. For hate will never, ever have the last word. Love will win. Love will win. And the Lord of love, Jesus Christ, in all of his teachings and ways, will reign and will rule at the end of the day, when all is said and done. And so the reign of Christ comes to remind us, as the old hymn has it, this is our Father's world. So let us ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. God is the loving, redeeming, forgiving, just, and right ruler yet. Believe it in your soul. Take heart. And do not be dismayed. Now, about this time of year, every year, I tell you the same story. It's the only story I ever tell twice. Maybe. It's about my Aunt Opal. And I tell it to you because, well, she's meant so much to me, and because the words which she used to say to me are like the firm foundation for my life and ministry and keep me grounded. Aunt Opal was in the waves. Women accepted for voluntary emergency service in the U.S. Navy in World War II. One of the first women to serve in the armed forces in the United States. And she was one of the first of the women to go and sign up for the military after it opened up to women in 1942, just after Pearl Harbor was bombed and we entered into the war. And because Aunt Opal wasn't yet 21, she had to get permission from both of her parents for her to go and sign up. Her father, my great-grandfather, was against it. He thought if she came back from the Navy, she'd have a big tattoo or something. But her mother, my great-grandmother, was for it. And she told Aunt Opal, you go on down there to that recruiting office and get those forms, and I'll take care of your daddy. Which is the way things worked in our family back then, and still do. And Aunt Opal spent the rest of the war joining with men and women around the world in the struggle against fascism and totalitarianism. Therefore, it meant so much to me later on in life when she was an old woman, when the days grew dark and life was uncertain. And I would call her, and I would say to her, Aunt Opal, tell me what you always tell me. And she would say, God is still on the throne. And I'm here to tell you that that was not escapism. Just like the words we hear when we watch old reels of Martin Luther King quoting the book of Revelation on the steps of the Alabama State House after the march to Montgomery, he is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored, are not words of vengeance. It is not vengeance. It is not escapism. These are the apocalyptic visions of a people who have been through something, who have come over a bloody bridge and through a fiery trial and have been sent here to tell us of a higher power. That there is a higher power than all kings and princes and presidents and governors and rulers of this world. And there is a rule and a reign of one that is coming who is not of this world. So, as St. Paul said, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one that is to come, there is the rule and reign and name of Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God, who is still seated on the throne and will be seated there, world without end. Amen and amen. And together, all of God's people do say,